This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Tech Talk. Good afternoon. This is Real You Geek Squawk. Jeff Sandu and Matt Armitage from culturepop.com. Before we get into the squawking, Matt's going to start with his own
two minutes. Yes, I've got 2 minutes. Today I am tackling mobile phone cancer.
Jeff can give a bit of history about what this is all about.
Well, this was submitted actually internally. One of the interns here in BFM, he came up and asked me, he's like, do mobile phones really cause cancer to your brain cells and all? So I thought like, oh, let's get Matt to, you know, dissect this for us. So,
okay.
Matt,
okay.
You've got 2 minutes.
Very easy.
Plus minus.
Yes, you're all going to die. No, mobile phones are not the only devices sending and receiving electromagnetic waves. A lot of people are also worried about the long-term impact of Wi-Fi and Bluetooth on our health as well. And as we start to make our houses ever more connected with, you know, Wi-Fi-enabled light switches, water heaters, kitchen equipment, even toilet flushers, I did make that last one up, the issue is becoming more and more important. But it's easy to get carried away with this stuff. We're surrounded by electromagnetic waves. Sunlight is actually electromagnetic radiation, and we can't live without sunlight. It varies in intensity across the spectrum from infrared to ultraviolet. The sun also emits gamma radiation, which, you know, as most Star Trek fans know, is not something you want to put on your porridge. Our atmosphere does a really great job of filtering out the harsh end of all of this energy, giving us a safe and sunny planet with air to breathe and water to drink. Now, the sun is a bit more powerful than a cell phone or a Wi-Fi transmitter.
True.
Look at the damage that solar flares and storms cause. Electromagnetic disruption can wipe out satellites and those self-same mobile phone communications. Of course, too much exposure to the sun is dangerous. It's an enormous planet, almost entirely made of fire. But that energy isn't killing you.
Right.
Conversely, your mobile phone is not a planet made of fire. So far, the weight of evidence seems to support the fact that mobile phones do not cause cancer. And this is largely because the radiation they emit is classified as non-ionizing. So ionizing radiation includes things like radon, which is emitted naturally, and of course, energy from the stars and the universe.
Right.
Ionizing radiation is found naturally in food and water, in our food and water in very low doses. It's in x-rays and other medical imaging equipment. And yes, ionizing radiation in large doses can cause mutations in human cells and even our DNA. And this leads to the development of cancer cells. Non-ionizing radiation, which is the type given out by our phones, Wi-Fi, etc., does not have enough power to mutate our cell structure in this way. Mm. So going back to the original question, do mobile phones give you cancer? No. So far, the weight of scientific evidence seems to support the fact that they don't. And there are plenty of other things in our daily life that pose a much greater health risk.
Like radio.
Like radio.
If you want Matt to dissect any more stuff like that, or to bore you for 2 minutes, you can tweet in at BFM Radio. Or you can tweet Matt himself. It's at Culture Pop, right?
Culture Pop Up.
Culture Pop Up.
Yeah, yeah. I needed the up because a German bloke stole my culture.
Culture with a K and without the E. Never mind.
I tell you. Anyways.
I'm invisible.
Tesla, they recently released their big software update, version 7 for the Model S car. And it's quite insane. It's a very big update. It's the Tesla Model S now has an autopilot ability. This, however, isn't fully autonomous like the Google car yet. It's more like an airplane mode for the autopilot style. It keeps the car in its current lane and it manages the speed and the distance from the car ahead. It can do lane switching. And what's cool is that it actually will use a lane indicator,
something that
we Malaysians have failed to discover its purpose. But unlike Volvo, Tesla said that if there is an accident, the driver of the car is responsible for this.
Hello.
The car also comes with auto park, which will scan for parking and car will park itself.
Yeah.
It's not really a new feature even for all this stuff that we talked about. Volvo has done it as well. So, But right now, it's only for the Model S. The brand new Model X, the update will be coming soon. It's pending approval. The Model S is currently, with this autopilot features, only available in Europe. Asia will be coming soon. But, you know, your car having a software update is just something really cool. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's the way of the future. But when you think about it, most of our cars now, the steering is via computer. It's not actually connected to the wheels anymore.
Right.
The brakes, the accelerator, none of it's actually connected to the engine anymore. It's all connected to a computer.
To a computer, yeah.
Now you tell me.
Exactly. But going back to the lane indicators thing, it's quite funny. A Canadian friend of mine, when he came over to Malaysia and started driving here, he would actually use the indicators when he wanted to change lanes. And
what's he thinking about?
Well, exactly.
Why is he
and
giving everyone away where he's going?
Exactly.
You're not supposed to do that, right? No one's supposed to know where you're going.
That's exactly what he said. He said he couldn't understand it. As soon as he put the indicator on, the car behind him would speed up to stop him changing lane. So, of course, he had to adopt Malaysian habits. Yeah.
There was a joke that went around last time. Someone told me, it's like, you know, the son asked the father, you know, why do I need to use a lane indicator? And he go like, who said you need to use a lane indicator? You don't, because, you know, no one's supposed to know where you're going. Nobody needs to know where your destination is. So.
Yes, exactly.
Where's the element of surprise?
Yes. Anyways, back at CES 2015 earlier this year, a company unveiled a prototype of the world's first modular smartwatch. It's called Blox. Now the company is ready for manufacturing and it's on Kickstarter. The company is called Blox itself. They will be running a modified version of Android. It's not Android Wear. But what's cool is the core of it, the face of the watch, has your standard smartwatch functionality. But what sets it apart is the strap. And that is made of blocks. And there are modules for other functions that you can buy to customize your watch. So if you want a longer battery life, then you get a block that has a battery life.
Right.
If you want a camera function, then you just add on the camera function block. You want a heart rate function, you just add on to it. And I think it goes up to how big your wrist could be. So everything comes in a block that you can remove and replace. It's already exceeded their goal, and you can check it out on Kickstarter.com, but it is a bit expensive with the, you know, the ringgit being very weak with the dollar at the moment. So it's like $250 USD. And it goes up to about $450 USD, which right now it's a bit pricey, but I think it's cool that modular stuff is coming to town.
It is cool, but I mean, going back to what you were saying about people with big wrists, I've got skinny wrists. Does that mean I get to have a rubbish smartwatch?
You only get two modular probably.
Or have I got to go to the gym to actually start?
Work on the wrist.
Put it around your waist.
But apparently the wrist is the one thing.
Put it around your waist.
No, but your wrist is the one part of your body you can't increase by working out.
Right.
That's mind blown, everyone in the studio here. Geek Tunes.
Okay.
James Blake, he's a fantastic artist, and recently he did a cover of Simon and Garfunkel's The Sound of Silence. It was played on the 1-800 Dinosaur Show on BBC Radio 1. This is James Blake with The Sound of Silence, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.